When we were kids, we looked up to federal judges and federal. Doing
you
the damn
can turn his mic off if you want.
I'm turning your mic off. You least shut the f*** up for a second. You can use that. Just bleep it out. When we were kids, we looked up to federal judges and federal investigators, attorneys general, and we saw them as gods. I think that's because they were dealing with civil rights, with other issues of great import, and we thought that they were above politics. Really, they're human, and they are political. And James Comey has just come out with a book, and I think its title is How to Destroy My Reputation, and have nobody read the book, but everybody talk about it. There was one thing in the book that was discussed on television, his interview with George Stephanopoulos. He tells the president about the Russian dossier with the hookers and so forth, and then doesn't tell the president that the dossier itself and the information in it was compiled by Hillary Clinton's campaign. And asked whether he should, thought he should have told the president that, Comey said no. We're going to talk about this with Pat Brady and WGN producer Jeff Carlin in just a second. But first, you have to listen to my cool theme song, because I don't know how Jeff is going to recut it after Casso leaves the Tribune Tower. This is the Chicago Way.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Casso.
There was a man who took a stand with pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
You know, one thing about the Chicago Way is that it's a time machine, because my voice is happy, because I don't know what the hell happened in the fire game, which already happened for you, fire in the galaxy. But walking in here, I had the misfortune of bumping into a man in shorts. This man in shorts was going to go golfing, and he doesn't like soccer, but he's an excellent lawyer.
Listen, John, if you had legs like mine, you'd wear shorts, too.
It's cold out. Pat Brady from Next Generation Strategies.
Thank you.
Former prosecutor, state and federal, former chairman of the Illinois Republican Party, and soon to walk into the Thunderdome.
Two men enter, one man leaves.
With his former friend, and a guy we like you, we like him, Dan Proft. And I'm just wondering, when you go into the City Club for that debate, are they going to have, like, chainsaws hanging from the ceiling so you can grab them?
I hope so. I'm not sure if Proft is strong enough to lift one. I know I can.
Oh, jeez. Right out of the gate.
They are going to debate the future of the Republican Party, and that's one of the things we want to talk to Pat Brady about, given that he was a supporter of Governor Rauner. And I don't know what the hell's happening with the Republican Party now, with Rauner saying he talked to Jeanne Ives saying that didn't happen. But first, there's a book. It's out now, guys. And there's a federal prosecutor I want to ask you. And Jeff Carlin is a producer who
sure.
who books.
He knows how to read.
Yeah, but he also
not
books,
that many of them do.
He's excellent at booking authors. Authors are always on talk radio, even if the hosts never read the book. And the book is How to Ruin What Remains of My Reputation by James Comey. I think that's the title.
It's a working title.
What is the title of this thing? It Really Happened? Not what Trump Says? What do you guys think of Comey coming out with a book like this?
I don't like the timing of it, as much respect as I have for him as in the roles that he's played as a public servant.
Mm-hmm.
I think it diminishes him. He was the former FBI director. He was the U.S. attorney in the Eastern District. Had some big cases. The Eastern District of Virginia. Why do this? I mean, he knows what impact this can have on any investigation. Wait till it's over. I don't think he needs the money. He had a big job. I think he was at Lockheed as general counsel. So I don't like it at all. It's not going to reveal anything that anybody doesn't really already know or think about Trump, those that don't care for him. So I agree with you. I don't think it was a good idea.
What about you, Jeff?
I'm with you on that. There's no point here. I mean, unless he feels that Trump, did personally attack him and ruined his life, which, as we kind of discussed, he really did, and he's not hurting for money. The only thing he's really going to do here is damage his reputation by, going after the money.
Well, Rosenstein put the memo to fire him.
Well, yeah, right. But, Trump asked him to do that.
Yeah, but he did it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. I think it's foolish. It makes a mockery of people in his position.
There's two things that are happening. One, the Republicans are finally getting smart. They're putting together a list of a montage of all the Democrats screaming at James Comey, saying he should
powerful.
Be fired. Before, remember when Democrats hated him. And the second thing is, in the interview with Stephanopoulos, I heard it. Piece of tape. Stephanopoulos says a former Hillary Clinton Clinton staffer and donor to the
staffer. He was one of the original Clinton two or three people that supported him when they were at 3% in 91.
Yeah,
that's he's been with him forever.
That's why I don't watch
it. He wrote a pretty scathing book when he left.
He did, but I got a problem with these guys being on TV. He asked Comey a question. Comey says, and then I had to have that private moment with the president where I had to tell him about the salacious material in the Russian dossier. And Stephanopoulos says, well, didn't you feel it necessary to tell the president who that political opposition funded the dossier? And he said no. I find that odd.
I don't. I'll tell you why. Because, in fact, I can't tell you who it was, but in another political race, I heard some information, and I went and told the person that was the subject of the information as a friend of this person, and if that information is out there, no matter who wrote it, it's out there, and it's bad stuff, and Trump's reaction was, I think, kind of mirrored what the statement was. He just didn't want his wife. If my wife hears this, true or not, it's going to be uncomfortable.
Right.
So revealing the source, should he? Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't put that much into it. Now,
you're talking to the president, and the president is under some sort of assault by, whether he did it or not, by a foreign government. I think it's incumbent upon the FBI director to say, you know what? Hillary Clinton's people paid for this information.
Well, it started with Republicans, though.
No, it did not start with Republicans.
Well, either way, what difference?
It started with conservatives, but they didn't do the Russian dossier stuff. They weren't funding the Russian dossier stuff. That came later.
Either way, he's doing him a favor telling him that this is out there.
Yeah.
That, to me, is like you're doing him a favor. So in an ideal world, and this is funded by, and go through that. I mean, Trump's attention span's about 12 seconds anyway, so just tell him, hey, this is out there. I thought he's doing him a favor, but...
We'll see. What I want to see is the Mueller investigation come to completion quickly. I want to see the Department of Justice Inspector General investigation on the politics of the FBI come to fruition.
And from a guy that worked closely with FBI agents, and I know that the far right or the Republicans or whatever want to make, Bob Mueller is a Republican. Most of his team are Republicans. Most FBI agents are Republicans. A lot of prosecutors are Republicans. So this story that is somehow political and that McCabe wanted to get, it's just all nonsense.
Actually, I respect I've spoken to FBI groups. They've invited me. I've spoken to them. I hold them in great esteem, the FBI. However, the rank and there's a ample discussion about some of the bosses involved in counterintelligence having an agenda that may have colored their discovery or investigation of Donald Trump. You know, the guy who ran, I forgot his name, and the girlfriend named Lisa, who's a lawyer. Well, all that stuff is problematic to me.
Problematic.
If two people, it's not two guys in a car slow drinking water because they're on stakeout. You know, I can't really drink this water. I just can sip it.
Listen, if that is widespread, and I get it, and if those two, it needs to be investigated and be vetted, but then to indict the entire organization and say that the FBI has some agenda out to get Trump is such nonsense, and it's perpetuated by the president who doesn't understand any of this.
You are arguing, good arguer that you are. You're putting me in a position to defend a man that I said was not temperamentally suited for the job, and I'm not. But
I'm not sure if we're disagreeing.
But I think that the people, the American people, and law enforcement, all of us need to know exactly what happened here.
Sure.
We need to know why Hillary Clinton wasn't, you know, why were her people allowed to sit. People who were scrubbing emails were allowed to sit next to her and advisor.
I agree.
And why?
Here, my question is, why was the foundation never investigated? I've said it millions of times. That was the biggest, fattest RICO I've seen. And I have questions.
We're from Chicago.
I have questions, too, but my point isn't that, again, I think we probably agree on this more than we disagree, just to somehow paint the FBI and law enforcement and federal judges and FISA court judges as co-conspirators against the president is unhealthy, and it's not true.
And I would argue that I don't think that's happened. I think that Trump...
Witch hunt?
Trump is making an argument, political argument, because this is a political matter.
Well, no,
I would say that impeachment, which is where Mueller's going, is a political response.
Well, he's going to issue a report, I think.
Yeah.
He's never going to...
And he's going to issue a report and give it to Congress, and depending on what happens in next November, we're going to see either impeachment or not. But, you know,
I don't think they'll impeach him.
You know, federal judges, I used to think when I was a kid in this business, because, you know, federal judges are held up, not like county judges, not like guys who ask Mike Madigan if they could get him a beer, reach into the cooler.
You have to come up with 75.
Hey, Mike, you want a cold one?
They have to come up with 75 grand to get the door.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how many pastries you need. But that's local judge. Federal judges are always, were held up to us as people of, like, gods. Right?
And well, they don't, they're life appointments, so they're supposed to be.
But they're held up as gods, and anybody in politics knows there's a lot of politicking going on about making federal judges. Jeff Carlin?
Absolutely. You're the judge, oh no.
All right, let's go to the segment that we don't have a nickname for, but it's Ask the Chicago Way. We put it on Facebook. People ask questions, and I said I would answer anything within reason. Happily, nothing involves my private parts or peculiar desires. All right.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's a lot of interest in.
All right, let me go. Do you want to read them?
No, go for it. You start it off.
Bob Angone, former top cop who ran the SWAT group here in Chicago. Now he's retired, enjoying the sunshine. What do you guys think of some of the Tribune News staffers trying to form a union? And then Tammy Pulver, another friend of mine on Facebook, says, why wasn't John Cass on the list?
Comrade?
This is, you know, the Chicago Way. We deal directly with things. So, what do you guys think?
Why do we think your name wasn't on the list?
No, what do you think of the Tribune forming a union?
Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of tumult in these types of businesses. So there's changeovers in leadership, and you've got uncertainty as to where things are going. A lot of people losing jobs lately, you know, being let go. And it makes the troops nervous, and there's only really one way for them to protect themselves is, you know, protection in numbers.
I told Pat Brady on the way in here, I did not sign. I'm a conservative. Anybody know who I am? I'm a conservative. I grew up in a small family business. I'm not opposed to my colleagues. Whatever my colleagues decide, I'll go with it. I have some reservations on how do you run a news shop, which is 24/7, with work rules that I'm not used to. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I don't take vacation. You know, I don't. It's 6 o'clock. I'm not out the door.
Yeah.
But I think most reporters, I'd say most all reporters on all sides, love their work enough that they work even. You know what I mean? They work off the clock. They want to get things done. So we'll see. But the Sun-Times did a story in which they noted that I wasn't the lead organizer. I don't know how they.
What that means?
Yeah, and they said John Cass and his right-wing views.
You know, they're not.
Why come across?
That's not. Well, that's not. That's not right-wing. Ronald Reagan was very much pro-union. He had the head of the Screen Actors Guild, but he was still a Democrat. The point is, if there's a disparity in imbalance in power, unions historically in this country have been very and necessary. I remember my dad telling me once we'd be communist if you didn't have labor unions. My issues with unions are public sector unions.
Exactly.
And
okay, I'm probably going to sign it now, but don't put that on me.
No, but the right
wing. John Katz. This week in the Chicago Age.
What's wrong with being a conservative? I mean, that's good for you.
But I mean, can you have one conservative or two in the whole damn news of Chicago? Is that illegal now? It's almost like we're on an island.
Well, consider the source over there.
Maybe you should see if you can get a job at Columbia and shape some of these minds coming up into conservatives.
Oh, yeah. You know what I could teach them? Orthodoxy. Do you think I'd get hired? I don't think so. All right, let's move on. But, yeah, you know what? I might. It's just I don't like being pressured. I will not be pressured in anything. All right. Let's
Why don't you be the head of it? Then you can shape the direction of it.
Mm-mm. I can't be the head of anything.
Speaking of heads.
Yeah, speaking of heads. Okay, I did not have the lamb head. Andrea, we ran into Andrea Darlis. She was bragging, showing off the lamb head she had.
Yeah.
No lamb head, Jeff.
No, there wasn't a lamb head. I wasn't disappointed, though. I mean, I was disappointed because I knew Christine would enjoy seeing it again, but yeah, it is what it is.
Jeff doesn't eat meat, but he was there at the table.
What else?
When I was chopping the lamb up.
What else is in this house besides meat?
There was pita and spanakopita and some delicious wine and ouzo.
Pate.
Pasticho, yeah. All right, let's go on. Where will we go when the state collapses? And will they have any recourse, meaning control, over departing citizens? By Bill Blaine.
I think the Constitution guarantees a right to travel. There's a case on that.
Yes, but as a former chairman of the Republican Party, where do we go when the state collapses?
Well, if you want to elect J.B. Pritzker, who's going to raise your taxes and going to cut out your scholarships for poor kids. And when we talk about Republican disunity, I think the message needs to get out, and I think it will. We don't have a choice here. We're going to elect J.B. Pritzker, give Mike Madigan back the keys to the kingdom and run the state in the ground. We do have a choice. We can have disagreements about Governor Rauner. But he's the one that's got actually a reform agenda.
We're going to have that question debated at length perhaps later. Joe Gerga, why have state legislators and wannabe Governor Pritzker embraced changing the Illinois Constitution to allow a progressive income tax?
I'm not sure how many of the state legislators, certainly on the Republican side, don't. But this is here's how it works. You know this better than anybody, John. He wants to raise your taxes because he's got a. When he gave his speech election night, I was keeping a list. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to cost $700 billion to do everything JB wants to do. The state's bankrupt. Our unfunded pension liability.
But where's his money? In the Grand Cayman Islands, JB?
Well, it came out yesterday, too. There was the governor's office sent out a tweet that he didn't pay any state income taxes in 2014.
Ooh, Does it matter? Does it really matter?
It makes
now
for a good commercial, and you can point out that the hypocrisy, and then we can lop on the real estate taxes he avoided on his second mansion. You know, have you been up there? It's across the alley.
You know,
it's on the poor side of Astor.
Loyal listeners,
said nobody
it's
ever.
It's on the shady side.
Yeah.
Loyal listeners know that I've been pushing for the plumber butt crack commercial for months now. Are we going to finally see it?
Adam
Browner?
I hope so.
I want to see like one of those Ankin Law commercials. Have you seen those where it's like the stick figure and like a forklift cuts off his feet and they're like, I need an accident lawyer? Maybe something like that.
All right, I'm not laughing at a guy getting...
No, that's a stick figure. It's not a real person.
Do you kind of, from Larry Murray, do you kind of miss the way Chicago was under Richard Jay? Even with all the corruption, the city was much better than it is now. All the industries, jobs galore, streets were fairly safe. Downtown and Rush Street were the places to go. You could take a bus anywhere in the city safely, and we did. I think your fans would want to hear your comments, or maybe I'm wrong. That sounds vaguely like a trap to me. Maybe Larry Murray isn't my friend, but he wants me to say, ignore the fact that black people during that time...
Yeah. Locked into buildings.
Mm. King was hit by a brick. There was racism. There was the outfit and the Democratic Party were like partners.
We got the S-curve.
Yeah, we got the S-curve.
Yeah, I think people like... Because even my parents are sometimes guilty of this. They conflate that little time in the 90s where they cleaned up downtown around Chicago Theater and everything was kind of pretty nice in Chicago, and then post-90s things kind of started to collapse.
You could go down there and buy crack in the 90s.
Well, no, I'm sorry, late 90s. That little window after the tech boom and there were tons of money available. And they'd think, the city was so great. What happened? Nothing happened. It was always bad.
Another question. This is for Pat Brady. From Bill Van Kampen, or Mick Van Kampen, I'm a pretty enthusiastic Trump supporter for the anti-PC and anti-establishment perspective. However, this $1 trillion spending bill has me seriously disillusioned. What happens if a tidal wave of debt crashes or China calls in their chips? Asks Mick Van Kampen. I would say, what happens when your kids turn you into crackers when you're sleeping and devour you for putting debt on their necks? What's with the Republican Party?
And listen, I've said this all along about Trump. He's not a conservative. He never has been. So a $1 trillion spending bill to him is no big deal. He's a Manhattan real estate developer.
But he signed it. But where's the Republican Party put it through?
I agree. But the point is, the people that voted for Trump, he's not a conservative. He's never been a conservative.
He was
so you're mixing the anti-PC, anti-establishment. I get that. That's great. But that has nothing to do with conservatism.
So Paul Ryan decides to spend more time working out at home and leaves. Nice home with a wall around it. By the way.
Yep. I've been there.
Because you have to protect, from immigrants, immigrant Greeks coming up from Chicago.
As I said, I'm more scared of Illinois people.
Right. Yeah.
And Mitch McConnell, every time I see him, I think of like that Gary Cooper, Sergeant York hitting the turkey. Gobble, gobble. Okay. But what's with these two? I mean, they're the ones who put the spending bill, and the base doesn't like it.
Trump signed it. He didn't hear other than this question here. He didn't hear too much about it.
Oh, you're going to hear plenty. I think people are.
This is actually starting to impact people, and people are, I think, starting to true conservatives, true Republicans, because my uncle, my mom's brother, is a longtime Republican, and he posted a post just the day before we taped this, and it's kind of long, but I'd love to read it if you mm-hmm. like. It's really interesting. My uncle starts out with, I think my loyal Republican credentials are impeccable. I've been involved in politics since I was 17 years old, legman for one of the few GOP aldermen in Chicago. I've been president of the Young Republicans, an officer in the Students for Goldwater, co-campaign manager for the first Republican elected as Cook County Sheriff, Joe Woods, in 40 years, co-manager for U.S. Congressman Harris Falwell. I serve as a precinct captain, a precinct committeeman, and township committeeman, rung thousands of doorbells, written tens of thousands of dollars worth of checks to GOP candidates and organizations. I've been invited to 4 inaugurations and inaugural balls and attended 3. I still have the gold Nixon Agnew cufflinks from my first one. I voted for Trump and still feel it was the right choice at the time. However, I now realize this erratic, perhaps unstable egomaniac is destroying the Republican Party. If anyone believes that the GOP can retain the House or Trump can be reelected, I'd like to talk to them about my oceanfront property in Idaho. Therefore, it pains me to say that I agree with what I believe to be a silent majority of Republicans that wish he was gone. Thus, I am writing to my senators and congressmen to express my opinion that the impeachment of Trump is the best hope for the GOP in our country.
And his name?
Michael Steinert.
Dear Michael, Pat Brady was, I could see Pat Brady looking up into the ceiling trying to think who would this be, because he knows who was supporting Harris Faywell and everything. So do you know Mr. Steinert?
I do not, but good for him.
What about his point of view?
I think he makes a great point. I mean, if you look at any of the numbers in the special elections, Republicans could have a big problem in the fall, and it's directly attributable to the president. I don't even think it's the white noise of the Stormy Daniels or that stuff, the tweets and the erratic behavior people don't like. And the economy's great. We could have right now had a majority that go into the next millennium had he not actually behaved as a president and done things differently. But now we've got big problems. I mean, the economy is booming right now.
I think that,
and we're going to have problems. And there's always off year you lose 12 or 13
yeah.
seats. But it could be very bad. It may not be. I'm hopeful not, but it could be terrible.
The problem is, in that analysis, respectfully, I think many people forget why he was elected in the first place. He was elected by movement conservatives and others who were upset at the establishments of both parties. They were upset with the McConnell-Ryan, you know, trillion-dollar spending bills that weren't read. They were upset with regulation. They were upset with people telling you that you couldn't face China and tell them to, you know, kiss off. And they were upset that they got jobbed on their jobs. They wanted a junkyard dog. Well, guess what? You put a junkyard dog in there, he's going to do junkyard dog things.
Right. Tear up the couch.
Yeah, but I agree with Pat that he's not... I mean, does anyone surprised that he would, like, think Stormy Daniels was hot?
I'm going to change my name to Stormy. Stormy Brady.
Stormy. An I or a Y.
That is nice. All right, let's do one more. Since the Illinois Senate, this is from Tom Winicky, passed the Equal Rights Amendment, I wonder if J.B. Pritzker will honor that noble gesture by promoting women in his investment firm. Tribune's David Heintzman and Todd Leidy report that of 55 employees, just 8 are women. And 26 vice presidents or above, only 3 are women. Pat Brady, what would the Republican Party do with this?
Well, there's a lot of time, and there's a lot of information that we'll get out between now and Election Day about Pritzker World, which won't be helpful to J.B. Pritzker. And that's one thing. There's many, many things out there.
Jeff Carlin, back to the original Thunderdome point. I'm trying to figure out if there's a path forward for Bruce Rauner after those ads. I know that Mr. Brady and others didn't like the Genie Eyes ads, mocking the transvestite guy.
And blacks.
And all that. But how, in God's name, can he put a party back together after running those ads saying that Gene Ives was Mike Madigan's child? Succubus, I think, is what we decided it was. And now Gene Ives, I just talked to her. There's stories going out. The governor says, you know, I talked to Gene Ives, or he's alluding to having discussions with her, trying to put the party back together. She says, no way. No, I didn't talk to him. I was in a restaurant. He walked by with some people and said, you know, hi. How does the governor put that party back together and deal with the conservatives who've abandoned him?
Well, I think the campaigns ultimately turn on issues, and when you see what the Democrats or JB actually represents, the conservatives will come back and they'll vote for Governor Rauner. A lot of reasons, two reasons, that the conservatives were mad at the governor. But even Jeannie Ives, 2 days before the election, said she agreed with Governor Rauner on all 44 points of his reform agenda. She just didn't like HB 40, that gave money for abortions, and she didn't like the Trust Act. There's two issues.
Yeah, 46 sanctuary state.
No, it's not sanctuary state, but that's what she... But here's the deal. I don't think... And I understand.
But that ad that he ran relentlessly saying she was Mike Madigan's favorite complete falsehood. Complete. She's not Mike Madigan's guy, and her voters know it. And if it's fair to criticize her ad and talk about putting things back together, if she had been elected, I think it's also fair to wonder how can Rauner put things back together after running that ad without acknowledging. Doesn't he have to have a mea culpa moment and say, look, Republicans, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry, I was wrong.
I think that I understand when you run a race like that, and Jeannie Ives, I've already disagreed with her on issues, but I respect her service, her motherhood, all the things that she's done, and what she truly believes in. She's passionate about it, and she should be given credit for that. But I think the problem is this probably leads into what's going to happen the 22nd. She's getting some terrible and got terrible political advice throughout this campaign from Dan Proft and John Tillman. She could have won that race, but Proft and Tillman decided to spend a bunch of money going after Jim Durkin and others, and took money from Dick Uihlein and spent it there versus spending it on her. And she probably could have won that race, but she got some really bad advice. And I think this continued battle, it's not Jeannie that's waving it necessarily. I think it's Proft and Tillman that are waging it. All it's going to do is get a Democrat elected.
Do you think you hold... I love watching WGN on election night.
Mm-hmm.
And longing for the days when I was also asked to be on WGN for election night. I must have pissed somebody off when I think you were on, Pat Brady, and Jesse Jackson showed up on screen, and I guess I asked him some questions he didn't like. The ratings were the best they ever had, they said. But I guess Jesse didn't, you know, King of Beer. I think it was when I started asking him about King of Beers. Like, do you like Budweiser? Anyway, but I saw Pat Brady on WGN, and Pat, you went kind of DEFCON. I don't know which is it, DEFCON 1 or DEFCON 5?
Yeah, that's I think it's 4. I don't know, but it's hype. But I firmly believe this. The way that Dan Proft and John Tillman and the Liberty Principles Pack, they run these campaigns, and don't even listen to my opinion, just look at the facts. They got creamed. The races that they put a bunch of money into, and they were Dick Uihlein's money, and they were supposed to win, they lost by 20, 30 points. Jeannie Ives...
They didn't win any races?
They won one. But I can go down the list if you want to on all the races.
I can't wait for May 22nd.
Yeah, they spent $1.3 million on Jim Durkin, and their guy got 32%. And the backstory to all this, it's just they're mad at the governor because the governor wouldn't give them the money to run their little political operation. The scrutiny that they're under from the Sun-Times, from ProPublica... The attorney general's looking at this operation. These guys lose everything they put their hands on, and it's destructive to the party because their message is one of, hey, you can have a disagree. Jeannie and I, on a couple of issues, just don't agree, but I totally respect her opinion and her passion and respect her as a person. These guys run campaigns on hate and resistance, and you know what happens? They lose. So to give them any credence as leaders of a quote-unquote conservative movement, Dan Proft, who ran Beth Colson's campaign not too many years ago, who's far from a conservative, these people need to be exposed for what they are.
I give everyone credence, my friends on all sides of this, because I'm interested as a journalist to see how things work out. One way I see it working out, but I don't see it working out if the war continues.
There's not a war. Who's the war?
There's little chopped legs all over the place.
No, they're really, you know what, that's not true. And it's not true. They're out traveling around the state. The governor is, yeah, there are people that are upset, and I understand that. But if
he won his last election by less than, I think, around 4% against Pat Quinn.
4.9%.
against Pat Quinn.
Okay, but here's the...
Now how do you win an election with... I guarantee you, more than, you know, not every conservative is going to vote for him. And sure. He needs everyone to even have a
but
chance.
But remember where we live. We live in this state called Illinois. Let me finish.
This is the Chicago way behind the blue Iron Curtain.
Exactly. Donald Trump lost the state by 1 million votes. We are a left-of-center state. I'm not left-of-center, but the state is left-of-center. If we, like Proft and Tillman want to do, keep putting people that can't get elected because they're too conservative in a state that's not that conservative, we never win. I don't want to have a debating society. I want to win elections. And leave the big words and the debates and all the deep thinking stuff to the people who went to better schools than I went to. I want to win elections, and you can't win it with candidates that don't fit the demographic.
How about this in the future, if both sides stop fighting, there'll be a Senate race coming up.
Sure.
Would Jean Ives be a good Senate candidate?
I don't. She'd probably be a good one in the primary, given what she just did. But let's be realistic about it. If she's going to run against Elisa Madigan or some other Democrat that's going to have support of the not just Democrats here but nationally, you can't run as a. She's not just right. She's way right. Even on the abortion issue, if your daughter is raped or the victim of an incest, she doesn't believe that that person, even though the Constitution protects it, has a right to an abortion. She is as far right on these issues as you can get. I'm not criticizing her for having that position, but those are her positions, and those positions just don't fit into this state.
So, no.
No, I'm not saying that. I mean, she probably, given what she did, and give her credit for what she accomplished in the governor's race, she got some name ID, but... You know, it's all going to come back to, again, I'm going to take it back to Proft and Tillman. That commercial is going to be hung around her neck for the rest of her life, and that was just political malpractice.
And I would argue the same for Bruce Rauner's commercial.
Yeah, but Bruce Rauner's not going to be running for Senate. We're not talking about Bruce Rauner. The thing is...
I told him personally, you know, look, you're talking to the guy. In case anyone out there thinks I'm like some kind of liberal unionist now... you're
comrade,
listening to the guy, comrade Cass, useful bleeping idiot that I am. You're talking to the guy who introduced Bruce Rauner to the state of Illinois and wrote a series of columns early on when I knew other guy. I knew all these other guys who were running.
Sure.
And they're like, hey, John, why you kick you? Mr. Brady, not your relative. But
he's not a relative.
I know. And he was saying, you know, people were saying, why are you kicking my ass? And not kicking rounders. And I thought, this is the guy we need.
Right, but here's the thing. Of the 46 issues, 44 of them, even Jeannie Ives agrees with the governor on. She said that repeatedly. So we have two issues, and they're social issues. Social issues. So the reality is, if to win in this
thing... These are important issues.
They are important issues. I get that. I'm not diminishing the importance of that to the conservative base. But even Barry Goldwater, 50 years ago, said that the religious issues... are not part of the conservative agenda.
You know, Pat Brady, in your heart, you know I'm right.
No, in your heart, you know he's crazy, right?
Listen, the one guy who's got to be happy about all this with the Pritzker ascendancy and JB doing so well in polls, and he's got all the Democrats around him, and they're going to run roughshod and raise taxes like crazy on everybody, has got to be Rahm Emanuel. Yes? Because
yes.
with Pritzker in, if Pritzker does get in, is Rahm Emanuel's tender little flanks are protected. Are they not?
I don't know, man. You watch the Laquan McDonald video, and you might understand one shot, but not 15 more. And that is a bad video. And so I think he's got an uphill climb.
Jeff argues that...
Yeah.
You argue that there's no smoking gun.
No smoking gun, and he'll be able to distance himself enough from it. Unless Gary McCarthy has some evidence, or the Tribune's going to pull out evidence.
That's why I'm so glad Pat Brady's here, because Pat Brady knows that as I tried to explain to you last week, damn it, the sins in politics and government are sins of omission, not commission.
I know.
And explain to us, Pat Brady, tell Mr. Carlin, there's nobody that's going to run around and say, Rahm Emanuel told me to sit on this video. It's not done that way.
No, but you can drop the payoff, the timing, payoff, my word. But you might. But I don't think it's just Gary McCarthy. I think we're going to have others in the race.
I think that's a bigger problem. I think they're going to. Is there going to be enough people in the race to suck enough off of him, enough votes away from Rahm, that there'll be a runoff?
Well, if you got heard that Joyce's kid might be thinking about it, and then someone that I'd like to see, just because I think she's very good, is Bridget Gaynor.
Bridget, wait, Mikey Pickle?
Sorry, not Pickles.
I thought Pickle was going to
be... Junior.
Oh, okay.
I think the one that went to Yale.
Well, that's kind of the answer. This is, all right, everybody who knows, that's a 19th Ward deal. You could go to Yale, but you never leave Western Avenue, right? So,
quote you on that.
Right? I spent some nights there, yes, I can attest to that.
So, did you ever do the Walk of Death?
I fell down a couple times, but yeah, that was
the Walk of
a long
Death.
Time ago, John. I was a young man.
If you don't know what the Walk of Death is, don't ask me. But if you have a Joyce making sounds about running, while you have a Gainer out there in the 19th Ward as well, strong there. I don't know where she lives now, but her dad, Bill, is from, you know, that whole 19th
Ward. Yeah, she's got her own presence. I mean, she's a county commissioner.
Yeah.
But think about it. If she did, and I'm not, I have no information that she is or isn't, but it's going to be a bunch of guys and a very articulate, smart, progressive woman.
Which one is that?
If Bridget were to get into it.
Lori Lightfoot's going to think about getting into it.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of... back to your original question, yeah. I think we got a long way to go, but it's never a break because we're going to get done with the November election. We're going to go right to the mayor's race.
It's the mayor's race has already begun.
I know we're coming to a close here. Of the last 4 or 5 weeks, I've been texting Carl, and I'm like, where did I go wrong with John? He was such a good boy. Such a good boy. And then he just goes off the reservation.
Okay,
man.
Daddy. Okay, Daddy. Oh.
Jeff would say, don't worry. He'll be okay.
He'll come out.
I have five kids, Jeff, now.
I have four and John. I have all of them. I'm trying to get them into the right lane, going in the right direction.
You know
what? You can be my kid. You got that gray hair going.
That's good. That'll be the day. So, okay. Well, we've got Rahm Emanuel to kick around. We'll kick around him some.
That's going to be a fascinating race.
That is going to be a fascinating race. If I were Rahm Emanuel, I want like 5,000 qualified black people in the race.
Yeah.
And then I want all the bond traders from Wilmette to move into Chicago. Because.
Yeah.
You know, it's been fun to watch it, kind of the background stuff, what's going on, the stuff you hear now. It's already in full swing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the goings-ons and the things you hear and who's going where, and it'll be good old time fun.
And you know what? We got to put that...
We got to get a different hobby, though, John.
I like this one. we put that in... we add a little fennel to that, and... maybe some garlic.
Well, think of the runoff.
Some salt and pepper. Put it in a sausage grinder and use natural casings.
Do you think if you got a big enough field with the right mix that Rahm could not make a runoff?
That would be interesting. You know what else has to be interesting? The people who run, you know, institutional Chicago, besides, you know, the Sun-Times is going to endorse him, okay? Sure. It's the labor's. I mean, no offense, but the AFL owns the paper.
Right.
So, you're going to have Rahm Emanuel dealing with all these institutional groups and the big money guys, and they got to think, you're a big money guy. You made that big money not by being Mr. Last Minute, but by being first. They got to be thinking, this puppy has got three legs. He can't run a race.
That's, I think, a big question. I'm not sure how thrilled all these big money guys are
with
the care and feeding they got in between sessions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. It's like these guys don't like to just have to call Michael Sachs up to see if they can get an invite for a cup of coffee. You know, they just, you know who I am? I own, like, half this state.
You know, and you probably learned this long before me, but the first convention I went to in 2008, And we'd worked our tails off for McCain, literally grassroots. I can't tell you the amount of hours that Julie and I spent and the kids, blah, blah, blah. And I go to the convention, and our hotel is probably 9 miles from the convention center.
Where was it? Minneapolis?
Minneapolis. Yeah. It was fun. We had a good time. Anyway, and then I get close to the convention, and I realize, all the donors, the big lobby people, are right. To me, it just clicked like, this is where the true power is.
Yeah.
I remember telling you, I go, wow, all the work we did, and, you know, we're in Wisconsin, and but all the donors are right, you know, walking distance.
Oh, yeah, they get right there.
I'm not dinging the wealthy people for that. Good for them. But the point is, if anybody thinks that money doesn't equate with power in politics.
Well, we'll have to see, because I don't think Rahm Emanuel will be in the $1,000 wine club with anybody I know who may be running for governor.
Have you ever had $1,000 wine? I never have.
No.
What do it taste like?
I remember, like, wise guys telling me about, you know, like, certain brandies or cognacs that are, you know. Sorry, man. Okay, give me
some. After the fifth one, or I'll taste the same, yeah. Right?
I don't even like going to a steakhouse, except for Gene's, when Pat Brady and I go there. But except for that.
We haven't been. We got to go.
I know. We got to go. All right. After, depending.
Why don't we invite Jeannie and the governor, and you and me, and Prof, and we'll all go to dinner and drink scotch.
You know what? But that's when you got to go there when no one's there.
Right.
And you got to have Visqueen on the floor, because I saw Goodfellas. And you look at the Visqueen on the floor, and Tommy goes, oh no! For Pat Brady of Next Generation Strategies and Jeff Garland, producer extraordinaire, WGN show Rokan with Anna DeVellantis, and John Cash, your mild-mannered, nationally syndicated columnist for the Chicago Tribune, this has been another edition of the Chicago Week.